This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on The Hull Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
One more preseason game to go for everybody, but specifically the Denver Broncos, and they're 2-0 in the preseason. Take that however you'd like to take it. Joining me now, the host of Broncos Country Tonight, Benjamin Albright, going to be on with us on Fridays as we set the stage for the Broncos each and every week. I'm looking forward to it. Benjamin, my friend, I got some, obviously Broncos stuff for you today, but also some overall NFL stuff, Micah Parsons, Hendrickson, all that stuff I want to get to. But I wanted to get your thoughts on the Devon Vele trade. Good move, bad move, somewhere in between by the Broncos.
Well, I mean, you had to take it.
Yeah.
Vele was going to be a starter for the Broncos. He was the third wide receiver. They weren't shopping him. They just had a couple of teams come and offer an absolutely huge trade package. I mean, that fourth and a seventh, that fourth is going to be a top 100 pick because the Saints are going to be bad. And the reality is, on the points value chart, the Broncos got more for Devon Vele than the Steelers got for George Pickens or the Raiders got for Devontae Adams a couple of years ago in trading to the Jets. So, I mean, when you're offering that kind of compensation, you have to take it. And, you know, the Broncos looked around. They go, well, we got Pat Bryant, we got Troy Franklin, Sherfields look good, and, you know, Courtney Jackson. So I think we got enough depth back here that if we let him go, we've got enough guys behind that that we'll be all right. And so, you know, I think it's a great haul for the Broncos. You hate to see a player of that caliber go, but end of the day, they got a great trade value back, and you got to take it.
Yeah, what is it then? I mean, were you shocked by this? Because when I saw it, I saw the trade, and then I see a fourth on there, the seventh, whatever. But I see a fourth on there. That was pretty shocking. The Saints think pretty highly of Devon Vele.
Which is hilarious because they've got nobody to throw him the ball. But, you know, between Spencer Rattler and Tyler Shuck, he could have 100 targets this year and catch 10 balls. So, it really is kind of perplexing. But I think if you look at it objectively, I think the Saints are probably trying to build up a roster on offense and then next year draft a quarterback and say this is our guy and have a ready-built offense for that quarterback to jump into. So I think that's kind of what they're looking at. That's the good faith explanation for their plan. Otherwise, I don't know what they're doing throwing draft picks at receivers when they got quarterbacks that can't throw.
Yeah, what a strange one there. And again, hats off to the Paytons, Sean Payton, George Payton. I mean, it just seems like, I mean, once we got away from that Russell Wilson situation, I know they're still in it kind of, but after that, it just seems like the Broncos, when faced with a decision or a crossroads, they just keep, at least at this point, making the right decision.
Yeah, I mean, so far, we'll see if any of that stuff ends up going south, but right now it looks pretty good. It looks like this team is primed to theoretically have a pretty good season. So, you know, right now it's in Peyton, whichever one you choose, I trust.
Yeah, I'm the same way. On the receiver side of things, are they going to carry just five receivers, or do you still see them, you know, bringing another guy up and having six wideouts?
Could be six. You've got a couple of guys in Juwan Newton and Courtney Jackson there that are right there on the practice squad. Maybe they make the 53 bubble kind of thing. So I think that's where you're at with it. Based on the running back situation, and Andre Kestame is not going to be on this roster by Monday. Like, he'll be gone. Mm. So based on the running back situation, who you keep in McLaughlin, Bidet, both. If you keep four, you're probably keeping five receivers. You keep three, you're probably keeping six receivers. And so that's really where your flexibility is.
Benjamin Albright joining us, host of Broncos Country Tonight. Benjamin, how are the Broncos going to play this game tomorrow against the Saints? Which starters will we see? How long will we see them in? What are you seeing at this point, or what are you hearing at this point?
Well, you're supposed to see most of the starters tomorrow, specifically on offense. Probably about 8 to 12 snaps, give or take. Maybe a little bit more if it doesn't look good early. They're really, in the Broncos game plan for their preseason games. Most teams don't, but the Broncos do. Sean Payton has his coordinators, especially on offensive side, who don't normally call plays out there, game plan and call plays to give them the experience. I expect the Broncos to mop the floor with the Saints. The question is, how long the starters are going to play. Like I said, I think you probably get two drives out of them, maybe a drive and some change. Just depends on how it looks. If they go out there and they're not scoring, you might keep them in there a little longer, try to get the, get the thing down. So on the defensive side, you'll see them for a few, not much. They're pretty good on the defensive side. They know where things are. They don't want any injuries. So you'll see them out there for a few, but that's about it.
As far as injuries or anything like that, I know Dre Greenlaw was banged up for a bit, but it seems like he's all good to go now. It seems like so far, kind of knocking on wood, they've escaped a lot of that. They had a couple of bumps and bruises along the way, but maybe nothing extremely major for the last couple of weeks, at least.
Yeah, I mean, you've had, and the ones you've had have been backups, right?
Yeah.
Matt Henningsen, Nick Argiulio, you've had the injuries that you've had have been guys that have gone down, that have been backups. So far, so good. We've been pretty fortunate on that front. Been pretty fortunate last couple of years, honestly, on that front. So, I think that's something to they've got some data. They suggest that getting a certain amount of snaps in game one and game three for the starters is most beneficial, and you're least likely to get hurt and all that. And I don't know if that's true, but anecdotally, over the last couple of years, you've been injury-free, so there's something to buy out of it.
Last week, we spent a lot of time talking about Nick Benito and the contract, and it was awesome because you're telling us, hey, the Broncos already have something ready for him. He's kind of – his camp's waiting to see what happens with Trey Hendrickson and Micah Parsons. I wanted to get your thoughts on Micah Parsons. They got that first game. It's coming up on a Thursday. I'm looking forward to it. They'll be playing the Eagles. Is Micah Parsons playing in that game?
Right now, he's suggesting he won't. There's quite a few of us that think that Jerry will cave last minute and pay an exorbitant amount of money like he does with just about everybody, and then turn around and get the deal done. It's the way it happened with CeeDee Lamb. It's the way it happened with Dez Bryant. Jerry just perpetually shoots himself in the foot with his negotiating tactics, and then winds up paying through the nose and paying guys anyway. So I think most of us right now probably think that Parsons probably plays, that deal probably gets done the week before, the week of, and you go from there, and he'll get paid, basically quarterback money. It'll be an average of over $40 million a year.
What did you make of Jerry Jones's most recent comments on talking with Michael Irvin, saying, hey, the agent basically told us to stick it up our ass on the contract side of things. What did you make of that? And I think Micah Parsons, I haven't checked recently, but I thought at one point he removed a bunch of stuff from his Instagram account, which we've seen stuff like that happen, and then they put it right back up. What did you make of, the last couple of, or the big quotes from Jerry Jones recently?
Well, you got to speak Jerry, right? David Mulligetta certainly never actually said that to Jerry Jones. What he did was, we've got our number. This is what it is. Either meet it or don't. And so, Jerry came back with something else, something different, and they said, no, thank you. And then Jerry gets on TV and says, oh, they told me to stick it up my, which is not a phrase David Mulligetta has ever used in his life, but whatever. So, it's you got to speak Jerry Jones and understand that he tends to speak in hyperbole. And when you sort of understand that and go from there, then it makes it a lot easier to say, okay, this is just regular stuff. Jerry enjoys the attention, so he's out there giving quotes that don't exist.
What do you think of the Trey Hendrickson thing? How's that one going to go down there in Cincinnati?
Well, Cincinnati needs to quit trying to be cheap. The deal, the framework is there, right? It's a $35 million a year deal, right? And the framework is there. The problem for the Bengals is they never want to guarantee any money because they're cash poor, right? In the NFL, if you guarantee money in a contract, it has to be put into an escrow account within 2 weeks. You got to have the cash on hand, right? And the Bengals are one of those teams that just does not have a lot of cash, and they've shelled out what cash they have to Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and Joe Burrow. So, Trey Hendrickson wants the security of signing a deal that's going to be guaranteed beyond 1 year. The Bengals have only offered 1 year guaranteed, even though the average numbers are correct. And so it's just a question of the Bengals getting the cash together and then multiplying that guaranteed money into multiple years.
And once those two deals get done, that's like you told us last week, that's when we could expect maybe to start to see some movement for Nick Benito and the Broncos. So I can't wait till that day comes. I know everything's pointing in the right direction, but as fans, you just feel a little bit better once we get the pin on that paper.
Well, yeah, and that's, I think, I mean, you think fans feel jumpy in their stomach. Think about how the team feels, like, we're playing hardball here. Don't let this thing get away from us.
So, sure.
You know, or the player, you know, don't want to get injured while trying to secure the bag. So there's definitely, yeah, there's always a little bit of jumpiness around it, but it's going to get done.
Benjamin, always appreciate your insight, my friend. I'm excited. We got college football going on this weekend. We've got tons of great stuff to get to. So I'm pumped about this, man. As far as the college scene, I mean, how much do you get into, like, going over the Buffs and the Colorado State Rams up here? How much of that do you really get into? Because I know with you, so much of the Broncos, you're dialed in so much when it comes to the Broncos. But on the Buff side of things, how much are you paying attention to what Coach Prime's up to?
I try to. You know, it's not my beat, but I try to do as much as I can. You know, I'm credentialed out there, you know, and all that. So, you know, my plan is to make it out there for the games. I pay attention to the pressers and the news clippings and that kind of stuff. I'm just not out there every day like I am with the Broncos.
Do you, from what you have heard, you know, I think a lot of the national picks are right around that 6-7 win mark. From what you've discovered, do you think that the Buffs will be better than that? They got Georgia Tech starting up. That'll be next Friday night.
Yeah, it's going to be, and I'll be at that one. It'll be tough. You know, it's tough. You got a lot of turnover. You lost a Heisman winner. You lost your starting quarterback. You lost a couple other good players, a lot of receivers. It's going to be tough. And you know, you don't know how quickly these quarterbacks are going to acclimate, be ready for it, and how things are going to go. It's going to be an interesting year to sort of see how Coach Prime coaches rather than how he is the head coach with a couple of guys that are pretty talented and, you know, in Shador and Travis Hunter. So, you know, I think this is going to be a telltale year for what they've started to build there. I really do like what Rob Livingston has done on defense, and I think that side of the ball has gotten better. The offense is going to be a question with the quarterback and all that, and I think 6 wins is probably the number you circle. I don't even know if they get to that. I mean, that's a tough schedule. But we'll see. We'll see. I mean, you know, like I said, it's one of those things, like, you got to see it to really kind of understand what it is. And the best I've done is seen, you know, a little bit of practice. And it's not, you know, I can't tell you from that what this team is going to be yet.
Yeah, so difficult, especially now with the transfer portal stuff. There's just so many unknowns. What are you hearing about Shador Sanders and where he's going to end up on the depth chart by week one for Cleveland?
Well, I don't think Kenny Pickett's going to make that team.
Yeah.
That paves the way for Gabriel and Sanders to take the 2 and 3 jobs. All three quarterbacks going to play in the Browns preseason game here. Flacco play a couple snaps, and then Gabriel, and then Shador Sanders, which suggests that Sanders is at the bottom of the depth chart. But, you know, I thought he played a little bit better in his outing than Gabriel played in his. Gabriel had that wonky interception. So you get a chance to see. I mean, you'll get a chance to see him kind of side-by-side against similar opponents here coming up this week, and that'll sort of determine things.
Yeah, big weekend there. I know a lot of Buffs fans will be paying attention, or I should say Sanders fans, will be paying attention to the Browns preseason game. Benjamin, my friend, great stuff from you as always, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next Friday.
Absolutely. Take care.
All right, man. There he is, Benjamin Albright, host of Broncos Country Tonight. Couple of things. He kind of feels like this is Jerry Jones just doing his thing right now. And he makes great points that he will cave and he'll end up giving him whatever he wants. I mean, he wants Micah Parsons. And usually the guys that the CeeDee Lambs, those Dak Prescott, usually those guys, you end up signing them. So I don't know. Maybe. But it just seems straight. It seems like you're almost at a, I wonder if you're at a point of no return with Parsons putting, you know, scraping his social media account, taking all the Cowboy stuff off of there. Now, Von Miller did something like that, too. You remember, Mike? There's the picture of the Broncos, 4, 5, 6 dudes at the White House. John Elway's in the picture with Von Miller. And during that process where they were doing the contract negotiations, Von cropped John Elway out of the picture. So these guys do, it's part of the negotiation thing. You remember that? We didn't think it was going to get done. And then it did, suddenly.
I do remember that. And I told Vaughn, I said, hey, cut that stuff out, sign the contract.
Oh, you
and
did?
He did.
You called up Vaughn? Is that, you know, from your Broncos credentialed days when you were at training camp, you were able to get a hookup to get numbers and stuff?
I mean, he was still a child then. But
right, but you have a connection on the inside that gives you cellular information.
Yes, I have all the Broncos phone numbers. As soon as they,
yeah,
you know,
sure.
As soon as they get drafted, the first thing they get is, you know, they get that number one or number two jersey, whatever their jersey is, the hat, and then they get my phone number.
Yeah, I don't doubt that story at all. No. 38 minutes after the hour, Mike. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.